Welcome back to the second episode of the Monday Q Review. Mark Baldwin listening to a little Taylor Swift in the background. How are you, sir?
I am fantastic. Good to be with you for the Valero Texas Open Monday. If you do hear some Tay-Tay in the background, it's my wife and my mother-in-law who are watching the Eras Tour.
And this is the problem with living on the West Coast. All my kids, my entire family, dead asleep. Mark, let's start at the Valero Texas Open Monday qualifier. Obviously, a very huge Monday qualifier to nerds like myself, because in 2019, won Corey Connors. Monday qualified. I've told the story a million times. Sorry if you have to listen to it again. Made a 30-footer on 18 to get into a 6-for-1 playoff. Won the playoff on the first hole. But also, Chase Hanna, man, I cannot imagine how tired Chase Hanna is of listening to this story. Had a very short eagle putt on like 14. He was playing with Mark Anguiano. He left the flag in, went to tap it in, and the flag pinched the ball out, causing the 6-for-1 playoff. Had he made that, Corey would have been out. Obviously, Corey would have eventually won. He's a great player, but it is a pretty wild story. But Valero,
it's a good reminder, too, to take the pin out. You know, like I'm still surprised every time I play with somebody who insists on leaving the pin in. Like I played in an Asher Tour event last week, and I played with somebody who keeps the pin in, and they were like the big heavy pins, and with the really thin fiberglass ones you can kind of understand, but the big ones on a windy day, it makes no sense at all. But I'm surprised you don't hear more stories like the Chase Hanna story.
It is, and I don't know how the rulemakers of golf do not realize how that slows the game down. I have been a caddy on an LPGA event where the one person wants it in and one person wants it out. And it's like, it's a goat rodeo. And especially in a mini tour event when there is no caddies, it must be a goat rodeo. I think we're going to get back to the medalist at the Monday qualifier. No, let's get into it right now. Alex Welch.
Lead with your best foot.
Yeah. And as I said to Mark, there is not often, it happens relatively a lot at Corn Ferry Mondays where I don't recognize a name, but very seldom at a PGA Tour Monday do I not recognize a name, or can I find anything on the person. And that happened today, and Alex Welch is exactly what I love about Mondays, Mark.
Yeah, I just saw that you posted this story, and you called me earlier today to tell me that there was a very obscure player who was about to make it through into a PGA Tour event. Now, for those who haven't seen your story yet, why don't you tell us what his background is? Where does he work? What does he do?
Yeah. So I called, I mean, again, I usually have either I know them directly or I have some sort of like, they went to this school, so I know some that guy, you know, I know that guy from that school, so I can get to, it's very rare that I can't get to a player. So come to find out, Alex has no social media. So obviously that eliminates a large, portion of getting a hold of him. No one knew who he was. He went to Texas A&M Commerce, which obviously today I found out was a school at all. And so luckily they were playing in the South Texas PGA. Shout out South Texas PGA, who is Nick Drew is the tournament director. And I go, Nick, if you see this guy, can you just give him my number? My phone rings 5 minutes later and slow Texas drawl. He's like, hey, this is Alex Welch. So come to find out, Alex quit after 2 years of college, had like an okay college career at a small school, went to work in a factory in a cooling tower, those big, huge cement towers that you see at factories. And I asked him, there's many favorite moments in my interview. And I said, what was your job? And he said, a gopher. And obviously I knew what a gopher was at most jobs, but I thought maybe in a factory, there was a specific job called gopher. And I said, well, what's that? And he spelled out the word gopher and said, you know, I just go get stuff when they tell me to go. And I'm like, yeah, I got it.
This reminds me of Willie Wilcox working in the paper mill, where he would clean out the fire kilns that were just covered, and he would wear coveralls, and they called him the mix bitch. He walk around and they go, mix bitch.
So it's so good. After that, he quit when he was doing that, did not touch a golf club, like quit cold turkey from golf, went out and played around after 8 months, shoot 67. And the guy he's playing with is like, you cannot work in factories for the rest of your life, you know? Anyway, long story short, kept his, got a family friend to help him financially, but hasn't played any mini tour events outside of like five or six. Didn't make a single cut at an APT tour. For the last year, has worked at his family's hardware store, a little tiny hardware store where like the sister runs it, his mom and dad own it. He does like grunt work from 8 to 1. Then he said he goes home and takes a nap every day from 1 to 2, and then goes out.
Can't underestimate the importance of naps for anyone, really.
Anyone.
Naps are vital. Especially if you're working a job and then trying to play golf, and that's like a perfect transition.
Yeah. So
I'm part of the nap mafia for sure.
Yeah. A family nap occurred the other day, I heard.
It was a great weekend. We'll get into it later.
Yeah. Then goes out and practices from like 3 to dark, but doesn't play any events outside of qualifiers around the area because he works at the hardware store. And Wednesday shot bogey free 66. Today shoots bogey free 66. And someone just tweeted before we get on, like, and again, this is why I'm very romantic about Monday qualifiers. This dude, obviously very, very, very unlikely that this happens, but if he wins the Valero Texas Open, in 7 days, he went from working at a hardware store to playing at the Masters. It's truly insane when you think about it like that.
Only in professional golf.
Amen, buddy.
You know, and we look at that lifestyle, the Monday Q mini tour grinding lifestyle, and we say, boy, this takes dedication. This takes unparalleled commitment. But the reality is, if he goes and does that for 4 days, he reaches golf's grandest stage.
Yeah.
You know what you have to do. And it's the most, I believe it was Roy McIlvoy who said, it's the most democratized sport because anybody can do it.
Amen.
I mean, at least the opportunity is there. You know what is required.
Amen. And I just looked, that story is hot right now. So that is hot. Fire hot. So go read my story. Great story. And I say this a lot, but seriously, there's a very good likelihood that Alex will not make the cut. That doesn't mean it's not the end of, like, this will be the only time he plays, but there's also a good chance. This is the only event, not a good chance. There's a chance this will be the only event he'll ever play in his life on the PGA Tour. Well, he'll always be able to say he played in the PGA Tour. And that's like, obviously the success stories I love, but the fact that it just gives guys an opportunity who maybe not deserve it is not the right word, who aren't good enough to play on the PGA Tour. Just that one moment to say, hey, I made it. It's pretty exceptional. I love it. So great story. We'll see what he does this week. Adam Long got through. You played with him at this is his second Monday, Mark, because he got through at the event you played, right? Got through at the Farmers.
Did, yeah. He got through in my group. And I think it was just because of the pairing that he had, you know, and he must have just had a pairing today where the conversation came easily, and you know, he got a good bounce in the last hole. So we played at Farmers, and he got off to a slow start. I think he bogeyed his first hole actually, and then finished really strong, hit a wayward shot in the last hole, and we thought he had to hit a provisional, and luckily it was, you know, we found it was barely in. But I mentioned that I had played with Adam Long to Phil Mickelson the week at, it was a few days after that, and he said, that fucking guy made a 30-footer on the last hole of American Express to beat me. It was like as if it was yesterday, and it was still boiling in him. That's what kind of competitors these guys are.
Yeah, that's great. That's a great story, and one I hadn't heard, so that's amazing. Adam Long gets in. Tom Andruni, I have a great story. This is a great story. I didn't even tweet it. Sometimes I just ruin. I don't want to ruin all of this show by tweeting everything. Tom last year got through this, the Valero Texas Open Monday pre-qualifier, got to the Monday qualifier and overslept his tee time and missed it last year. What redemption to come back, get through the pre-qualifier again and get through the Monday qualifier. I mean, amazing, really good. And the last person, Peter Quest. Peter is a Monday coming, kind of becoming Mr. Monday Q, Mark. Last year got special temporary membership. A stupid PGA Tour rule is that you don't get conditional status if you finish 126 to 150 if you are not a full member. So that's what he did last year. Lost his status. Now it's Korn Ferry status. Pretty bad Korn Ferry status. So back grinding. But Mark, here is the question. I think we all agree on the answer, but I'm surprised that more Monday conditional Korn Ferry guys don't play PGA Tour members. For those listening, you exempt through pre-qualifying if you're a Korn Ferry member, no matter how bad your status is. Korn Ferry Mondays, because today was the first Korn Ferry Monday stateside, 300 players basically between two sites. And obviously a lot easier courses, brings more people into play. If you had poor conditional Korn Ferry status, would you play all PGA Tour Mondays, or what's kind of your advice on that?
There's a general strategy I think that's accepted among players, and it's if you make it to final stage the first quarter of the year or so, and that'll vary based on how you're playing, but that's the target, is that you'll play Korn Ferry Mondays, because the idea is you get into one, you make a cut, you get into the reshuffle. And so you're willing to take your shot and give up the possibility of getting to a PGA Tour event, which, I mean, I don't want to say it's going to be easier. It's a little bit different, because typically on Korn Ferry Mondays, you're playing a softer golf course. But softer, I don't mean condition-wise. I mean, it's just easier, an easier golf course overall. But you have so many more players to beat, and you have the same essentially amount of spots that you'd be playing for on a PGA Tour Monday. So I think it varies a little bit, but it's understood that these guys want to get status. They want to get regular starts. But if you if you decide to take the route that Peter Quest did, which is to forego as an alternate on Korn Ferry Tour, the Korn Ferry Monday, and play a PGA Tour Monday, and it pays off, in a massive way. And he was the perfect example of that last year. He got into Byron Nelson, made some money and some points there. And then what was it? Rocket Mortgage, where he finished T4.
Yeah. Yep.
And if he finishes, I believe was it T3? Mm-hmm. It was either T3 or it was a two-way tie for T4. And I think he maybe finished three-way tie. He would have earned special temporary membership. But then he goes the following week to John Deere, makes the cut, which is all he needed to do, and earns the special temporary membership. So that's how it pays off. So he knows what the optimal trajectory is through these Mondays. So he's a little more advanced, I think, than maybe your average player who's just achieved some sort of tour status.
Yeah. Tough luck story of the week is the same tough luck story of the week as last week, unfortunately. Matt Atkins, again, playing really good golf, we talked about it in the first episode of Monday Q Review. It's hard for players when you're playing well to miss in a playoff. Mark said, "Would you rather?" I asked him, "Would you rather miss in a playoff or shoot 74?" And he's like, "I'd rather shoot 74 because when you're playing well, you feel like you should take advantage, and it's a huge miss. Whereas you shoot 74, you're like, okay, just wasn't my day." Matt Atkins has missed in the last two playoffs in a row, Mark. Has to be just super, super frustrating.
Yeah, I mean, he got chipped in on last week by Ryan Gibson, and then he three-putted that exact green that Gibson chipped in on. So it's got to be one time is frustrating enough. Maybe you don't sleep that night. 2 weeks in a row could be fairly disheartening. So, yeah. But he's playing great. And
yeah,
another round well under par and right there. I mean, that's encouraging stuff. If you really, you know, like you said, it's easier to take if you shoot 74. But to know that you're right there and you're on the verge and it's worth it to show up again next week. If you shoot 74, you're like, I don't really know if it's worth it to show up next week. You know, let's say you're on a cash crunch. But he knows he's going to show up and he's going to shoot another good score, and he's right there. So all encouraging signs.
Yep. Before we get into some Phil stuff, we're going to talk about and then get into an interview with Greg Chalmers. There is no tougher tour in the world to get on than the Champions Tour. But as Greg alludes to in this interview, you're a young guy, quote unquote, as a 50-year-old. If you get on, you can try to take advantage of it. But a Twitter favorite, he's super good on Twitter, he's super honest about it. And I talked to him for about 7-8 minutes about whether he watches scoreboards, what it's like on Champions Tour, what his last 2 years about tour life on the regular tour, and just not being able to compete his best stuff. As he says in the interview, he's like, I'd finish 30th and feel pretty good about it. Now he knows his best stuff, he can probably win on the Champions Tour. So here is 5 to 7 minutes with Greg Chalmers. Greg Chalmers, Monday, growing into a Monday Q legend, Greg.
How does it feel? 2 for 3. I'm doing okay. I'm enjoying the opportunities I get, mate, to be honest. Monday Qs are hard, and certainly no different on the – little different maybe on the Champions Tour in that there's less guys attempting it. You know, there's typically, you know, anywhere from 50 to 80 guys. So your odds are a little better, but it's still not – it's still work.
To be fair to Greg, he's downplaying it. If you look at a, if you don't know Champions Mondays and you go look at the field, you a lot of times I go like, that guy's not exempt into the – like it's – basically all PGA Tour winners or like good Corn Ferry guys or, you know, right. A combination. There's hardly a name you don't recognize often.
Right, right. And look, and that's the sort of the strange thing about the Champions Tour is it tries to reward a little bit of everything, meaning it rewards past performance from a career that was, you know, long and distinguished for some players. And also current performance for guys who maybe didn't perform at that level but are now over 50 trying to play some or playing good golf. So you always get this mix of guys that maybe you'd think they should be on there, but it doesn't really work that way. It's actually quite a difficult tour to get on. When you do, you've got to grab both hands around the chances you get and try and make the best of it.
Greg, for those that don't know, top 10 on the Champions Tour, even another caveat is you have to be – the top player without any status. So if someone finishes second and Greg finishes third, he does not get into the next event. So two things, Greg. Obviously, I assume going into the final round, you're aware of where other non-exempt guys are. And then coming down the stretch, are you like, once you're out of a win, are you looking at top 10? Do you know what that number is?
Yes, I would say I'm less aware about what other players. My first goal is just to get into that opportunity and get the top 10 sort of squared away if I can. Not squared away, I don't want to make it sound easy, but it's not. But I just got to get in that spot first and then hope one of the other 9 guys didn't beat me. And if they beat you, they beat you. I think if I knew Like a great example last week, on the 18th hole, I knew a par would be potentially okay and a birdie would definitely be okay. And I had a lie in the rough. It was a little bit iffy, but the yardage was I could reach it with a hybrid and it's an island green. You know, it's probably 50-50 I pull it off. And we decided to lay up and it still left him with potential birdie opportunity, but it definitely ruled out, okay, we're not going to hit it in the water now. So it's definitely something you keep an eye on, but I don't look at like, oh, I've got to beat so-and-so because it's just hard enough in itself to get in that top 10. You got to play good golf to do that.
You got a bad break on 18. Greg hit the flag, spun it. It would have been relatively close or a lot closer than it ended up being. I mean, can you take people who will never be in there like myself, the pressure of having no status at all? You're right on the edge of the top 10. And like there is, it's hard to get sponsors exemptions on any tour. It's really hard on the Champions Tour. So you're looking at, I got a Monday again, or this is my chance to keep going. I mean, can you take us in that pressure?
Yeah. It's just very, very challenging. When I missed out at Q School, I finished eighth at Q School and I had a really disappointing finish. I hit it in the water on the last hole, probably needed to make birdie. A par actually would have got me in a playoff for a chance to get my card on the last hole of Q School. So when you're standing in the fairway and you rinse it, and that's kind of heartbreaking. But I sort of took solace in the fact that there's only five cards at Q School on the Champions Tour. And I really believe that there's actually not more necessarily, but there's quite a lot of guys or some guys who get their playing rights through this path, through playing their way on. And it doesn't have to happen in the first year. You can get opportunities because once you start making money, you might get in a different category the next year that gets some more chances. So I just thought I'm just going to stay healthy and keep fighting and keep working. I'm highly motivated right now. So that's a big challenge, I think, for a lot of us over 50. You know, sometimes you've been doing it a long time and you're tired of living in hotel rooms and tired of some things. So I'm kind of the opposite. I really look forward to what I've got in front of me. And I love the competition. It feels so great to be competitive because, to be honest, for the last few years, any PGA Tour opportunities I've had, you know, if I ran 30th or 40th, that was probably a pretty decent week for me, you know, compared to the young guys. So this feels nice just to be in amongst it a couple of times. So I'm really enjoying that. But it is very, very challenging because you're asking for invites, you're begging and pleading, but there's, you know, we are upwards sometimes 50, 60 guys who want that same opportunity. So that can be difficult. And so you just have to go earn it. You have to knock the door down if you can.
The last one, Greg, I assume that is part of the new lease on life per se is even if you played well, just because you're older, those guys hit it a lot far younger. Those guys hit it a lot farther your last couple of years on Korn Ferry and the PGA Tour. Like you're going there like, hey, if I play solid, I'll make a cut, see what I can do. A perfect week lines up. Maybe you can sneak into the top 10, but I mean, you're competing against guys 25 years old. I assume that's the nicest thing, right? Is like you're the young guy, obviously, and you know that playing to your potential, you can contend for wins out there.
Yeah, I think so. Look, to be honest with you, right, there's so many nice things about the Champions Tour because everyone's kind of chilled out just a little bit. And I think of the vast portion of players that I've met anyway are really aware that they're very fortunate to be playing golf for a living in their 50s and 60s. Not many people get to do that. And so there's a genuine feeling of gratitude that that is palpable. So I think the environment that you're in is just really pleasant. Like it's a really nice environment out there. And I've really enjoyed the 3 weeks that I've played so far. Seeing some old friends and names that I've known for a long time and recognize. And then the competition side of it is a lot of fun if you get the opportunity to play some good golf and be competitive, but get the juices flowing. And that's what, you know, all of these guys are at some point in their career, if not all their career, have been very, very competitive people. And we all enjoy that when we get the chance.
Greg Chalmers, 2 of 3, 2 top 10s. I don't even know how non-member points works. I should know, but I don't know. I assume you're just like, let's just go get another top 10 or a win and we'll figure it out.
You know, to be honest, I don't even know myself. I'm learning all things as I go. So the irony is I think I'm in a couple of majors now that I wouldn't have been in. They have categories in majors that they don't have in regular events. So I think I'm in the PGA now. I'm definitely in the Open Championship over at Carnoustie later in the year. And so, and maybe another major called, I think it's called the Tradition. So I've got some opportunities coming up I'm pretty really keen for.
Awesome. Greg, great follow on Twitter. Obviously, if you don't, and huge fan, been a fan for a long time. Congrats, Greg.
Thanks, mate.
Mark, Greg Chalmers, Champions Tour, very hard tour to go on. It's impossible, as he said in the interview, to not think about the top 10, right? Like, let's go AT&T. You'd love to say you don't think about it, but when we teed off on Sunday, you relatively knew what the number was that would get us in the top 10, get you in the top 10.
Sure. In between rounds, you definitely know. And the night, you know what your target is, and you always try to shoot higher than your target, right? So I'd like to top five it. And if you come up a little bit short of that, maybe you top 10 it and you get it in the following week. But the challenge is to just push all of that aside when you go show up to the golf course the next day. And if that goal or that aim is clouding your vision and your ability to just remain present in every shot, then it's probably impeding your ability to actually achieve that goal. So if you're, everyone in golf talks about it, outcome, the focus on outcome, just typical or the very close connection to the result just doesn't really often yield great results for most players. So, Greg said that he had really struggled with his putting, especially from 6 feet and in. So I'm sure, you breathe a sigh of relief when he finished T9 and made it into the next week. But we're happy that the Gregulator Express is on to the next week.
Moving choo, up. Choo. All right. Quickly, Mark, you spent some more time with Phil. It's pouring ass rain. Just how cool of – what was it like? What is it like to hang out with Phil Mickelson, who, for those of us who will never – I did for 1 minute, but you have a true, like, friendship going on with Phil.
Yeah, without getting into too many of the details, it's better than I could have imagined. I mean, it's just really surprising that – we have kind of evolved to this point. And this weekend we played in the rain. We were supposed to have a mud day, where that is basically what he calls when you get a really bad weather day. You go out and you play despite the conditions. You're kind of a hard ass on yourself. Like, if you have casual water on the greens, you're not taking relief. You have to figure out how to hit it on the proper side of that casual water. It's really fun. Like, I mean, it was astounding to see all of the video that you posted, I sent to you of him hitting five woods in the rain, and it's coming down sideways. And
stop playing this game. Hey, Miles.
Can you hear that?
Yeah, that's
Miles
okay.
Making an appearance. It's amazing to me that, and I certainly am guilty of some of this too, but it's a perfect encapsulation, I think, of social media. It's like, you see something and you want to have just a strong opinion on the matter. And some people take that to such an extreme that it becomes a conspiracy theory. And like, seeing people comment on your post, like, this is a photo op of him practicing. He doesn't really work hard. He's already gotten paid. And nothing could be farther from the truth. Like, of course, yes, he's already gotten paid. He is exceptionally wealthy, and that has been the case for a long time, but like, he works harder than anybody I know, and he has so much fun with it. And so I don't want to get into too much of what we discuss in this short time period, but I just asked him, we're out there, it's the rain's coming down sideways, it's windy, it's cold, and I just turned to him, he's loving every minute of it, and we're playing a match, and I said, Phil, who loves golf as much as you? Like, what well-known, notable, professional, or like legendary golfer really truly loves the game the way you do? And he thought, and he said, Seve did. Seve was kind of a hero of his. And then he said, he thought about it a little more. He said, Dana Quigley also loves golf this much, he would play and practice every single moment that he wasn't traveling. You know, which is fairly surprising. I didn't expect a Dana Quigley drop.
Of all the guesses, the middle of our match. A million guesses would have never got to Dana Quigley.
Right. Yeah, and then he dropped an obscure reference on you today too on Twitter.
Yeah, that was. I mean, Phil's a golf nerd, and that's what Mark has learned, and I've learned through Mark.
It's so true, and it is surprising in a lot of ways because I think, you know, so many have come to expect that he is this calculating chess player, and that's kind of the narrative out there. And I just think that's the truth, is that he's very smart, but he's also just a golf nerd, and that's what he loves to do. He's not this, you know, maniacal, calculating narcissist. I really, that hasn't been my experience at all. I really kind of admire the work he puts in, and I also think what he's trying to do at his age, you know, become not just a major contender at 53, but actually win another major, maybe two. Like, he really believes he can do it. And I think for somebody like me and anybody who's like past their, you know, quote unquote prime in golf, I think that can be inspirational stuff.
Yeah. That's it. I mean, it's perfect. That's a good way to end it. Monday Q Review, out every Tuesday, quick like this, review the Mondays, have an interview, talk about what Mark's doing. That's it. Monday Q Review. Mark, have a good night.
Our theme music is composed by Alicia Beats. The song is called Titanium, and it can be found on pixabay.com.